Blog Talk Radio.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Vincent Xavier with New Wine Ministries in Decatur, Arkansas. God bless you and welcome to this evening's live radio broadcast. Our approach to the broadcast this evening is going to deal with two very important issues regarding our experience here on planet Earth, and we're going to have to make a decision as to what side of the day we're on and how these two very important issues are going to affect us in the days ahead. So let me begin by giving you a fact. Americans spend more on health care, yet are sicker than most other people in the world. Americans suffer from higher incidence of cancer, heart disease, diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, lung disease, and a host of other diseases, even though all those diseases are both preventable and curable. Yes, it's a sad fact that despite massive expenditures on medical treatments and drugs, Americans are sicker than ever before in our history. One might wonder why the so-called miracle drugs manufactured and promoted by pharmaceutical companies, not to mention the highly touted medical breakthroughs, have neither prevented nor cured disease in this country. The answer is this: disease is big business. Americans are spending over $2 trillion on health care, and that figure is expected to reach $3 trillion by the end of the decade. Over $1 trillion of the spending is on pharmaceutical drugs. With these kinds of revenues, there is no incentive on the part of the pharmaceutical industries to promote better health. They're the most profitable industry in the world, enjoying average profit margins of 30,000 to 50,000% on pharmaceutical drugs over the cost of raw materials. Sometimes their markups can be as high as 569,000%. The average business person in his right mind wouldn't dare walk away from such profits and would do almost anything to ensure that that trillion-dollar cash cow remains intact. As a result, the pharmaceutical industry has assembled a pharma cartel consisting of an army of lobbyists that influence not only the entire medical industry, but also the U.S. Congress, and by extension, the lives of the entire American population. Pharmaceutical companies spend enormous amounts of money to get doctors to prescribe their drugs to patients, to get the American public to believe via the barrage of drug commercials that they've got a health problem, and to get Congress to pass legislation that ensures their continued profitability. Case in point, a recent investigative report aired on the popular CBS program 60 Minutes revealed that, quote, Congressmen are outnumbered 2-to-1 by lobbyists for the pharmaceutical industry that spends roughly $100 million a year in campaign contributions and lobbying expenses to protect its profits. Now, because of this, the pharmaceutical lobby almost never loses a political battle that affects its bottom line. In fact, there have been over 1,500 bills placed in front of the House of Representatives over the last 8 years dealing with pharmaceutical issues, and the drug companies, almost without exception, have gotten what they wanted. The pharmaceutical industry has more to gain when people are sick than when they are well. Therefore, they manufacture drugs that only relieve symptoms but do not cure disease. There's a vested interest in keeping people sick because the big bucks are in drugs for ongoing diseases. And yet, the pharmaceutical companies, clever propaganda to make themselves look like the savior of all mankind, a savior that finds cures for diseases and saves people's lives, has successfully deceived us into regarding them with a sense of awe, reverence, and respect for all that they do for human health. The irony of it all is that more people have died from preventable diseases than all the wars of the world combined, as a direct result of the pharmaceutical business. These deaths were not just from the use of drugs, as in the case of the 106,000 deaths per year from the negative effects of drugs, but from the industry's suppression of information about non-drug health alternatives that could have kept people from dying. Pharmaceutical companies routinely use their power and unlimited financial resources to keep doctors from prescribing natural therapies, and their powerful lobbyists even get Congress to disallow established health claims for natural remedies. If you do some research on your own, you'll find this to be true. They have built an elaborate maze of manipulation, control, infiltration, and economic incentives to systematically deceive millions of people into thinking that drugs are the only solution to disease. The deception has become so pervasive that we have been brainwashed into thinking that whenever we are sick or not feeling well, all we have to do is take a pill to feel better. According to a June 2008 article written by Dr. Joseph Mercola in his popular Natural Health newsletter, he said, quote, "As much as the drug companies want you to believe that it's normal to take medicine every day, it's not. It is the rare exception that should ever need to take a drug." End of quote. It is of no comfort that the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, the government agency created to protect public health, let me say it again, the government agency created to protect public health, makes it a priority to promote drugs and the financial interests of pharmaceutical companies. This is so because many of the FDA's senior management and members of its advisory committees accept more than $50,000 apiece in corporate grants, contracts, and consulting fees from pharmaceutical companies. It wasn't until the Vioxx scandal took place that the true nature of the FDA was revealed, along with its leniency toward the industry it's supposed to be regulating. In 2004, Merck marketed Vioxx for the treatment of arthritis and other conditions causing chronic or acute pain. Later, it was discovered that Merck had deliberately suppressed the heart attack risks of Vioxx. The international medical community has criticized the FDA for not only being asleep at the wheel while this was happening, but also of acting in collusion with Merck to cover up the truth. The irresponsible behavior of the FDA caused Dr. Richard Horton, editor of The Lancet, one of the most respected medical journals in the world, to state, quote, "This discovery points to astonishing failures in Merck's internal systems of post-marketing surveillance, as well as to lethal weaknesses in the U.S. Food and Drug Administration's regulatory oversight," end of quote. Vioxx has since been taken off the market. Let's talk a little bit about fictitious diseases and how they abound. Those in the holistic health field have known for a long time that fictitious diseases are invented all the time by the pharmaceutical industry for no reason other than to sell prescription drugs. If you've ever wondered why all of a sudden there's an entire array of new diseases that were unheard of 10 years ago or more, this is the reason. Diseases like intermittent explosive disorder, which is bad temper, or bereavement-associated depression, which we call grief, or hypoactive sexual disorder, or low sex drive, pornography addiction, compulsive buying or gambling, excessive internet use, pornography addiction, ADD, attention deficit disorder, and ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, are examples of such so-called diseases. ADD and ADHD, for instance, are simply conditions usually brought about by the overconsumption of refined sugar, junk food, and soft drinks by children. The media declares ADHD an epidemic of sorts because there are reportedly 6 million children in America, that's 13% of the country's school children, who are diagnosed with ADHD. The drug Ritalin became so popular because they made ADHD a bona fide disease that required a prescription. And psychiatrists were only too happy because they got kickbacks from drug companies every time they prescribed Ritalin for kids who really were just a bit overactive, probably because of their own overconsumption of sugar. Come on, Mom and Dad, wake up. Furthermore, in recent years, there has been an upsurge in the use of powerful psychotropic mind-altering drugs to children as young as 2 and 3 years old, at least in foster homes, because it is much cheaper and easier to keep them quiet than providing time-consuming care. The number of prescriptions for chemical straitjacket drugs like Prozac or Paxil or Zyprexa and Depakote has increased by more than 100% between 1995 and 2000. Clearly, the pharmaceutical industry wants to categorize the majority of the population as having some kind of disorder. And if there isn't a legitimate disorder, why, one can always be invented. Social anxiety disorder, shyness or lack of social skills, and fear of public speaking are just two so-called disorders that attempt to encompass the entire population. Everyone suffers from one degree of shyness or another, depending on the social situation. And fear of public speaking is a natural fear that most people have. These are not diseases at all, but rather normal human tendencies or behavioral differences. But when they're categorized as disorders, doctors are given the freedom to push a variety of drugs on you, such as duloxetine for bereavement, escitalopram for excessive internet use, divalproex sodium for intermittent explosive disorder, topiramate for compulsive gambling, fluvoxamine for compulsive buying, naltrexone for pornography addiction, and quetiapine for fear of public speaking. The physician's desk reference, the PDR, is considered the medical Bible of drugs, wherein all prescription drugs are compiled and which is updated annually for use by doctors in prescribing drugs. If you look up a prescription drug in the PDR, you'll find its mechanism of action, which is the mechanism by which the drug produces an effect on a living organism or in a biochemical system. Frequently, the mechanism of action for a great number of drugs is listed as unknown. Sometimes the mechanism of action is stated in phrases such as, it appears to be, or it is thought to be, or it is believed that, which are not scientific words, but rather words that suggest educated guesses rather than information based on concrete scientific evidence. For example, almost all psychotropics, i.e. drugs used in the treatment of mental illnesses, have an unknown mechanism of action, and yet they're wantonly prescribed because they've been demonstrated to quiet down lab monkeys and prisoners. Statins are another class of drugs that have an unknown mechanism of action. And yet doctors prescribe them like candy, even though they cause a wide array of adverse effects ranging from statin-induced myopathy, or progressive weakness of the muscles, to cytotoxic effects to testicular pain. Additionally, once you begin a statin regimen, you usually have to take the statin for life, or you run the risk of getting a heart attack, which is what happened to former Vice President Al Gore after he stopped taking statins. Well, before I go any further, let me just say that I believe with all of my heart that these words are true. I do believe that the multi-trillion dollar pharmaceutical drug industry is one of the biggest businesses in the world, and it's kind of like a mechanic that's a little bit greedy. You take your car into the mechanic, and you're trying to get one problem fixed, and he just creates a few more problems while he's under the hood so that he has a little bit more work to do. And it appears that this kind of humanity, this greed, this corruption in the human heart is spreading because the love of money is the root of all evil. So we should not be shocked by the fact that the pharmaceutical drug industry in the United States and around the world is pushing their multi-trillion dollar business on the masses of people in the United States to keep them sedated or to bring them under the bondage of their ritualistic times of frequenting the pharmaceutical counters all across America. This is the truth. Now, the World Health Organization is a global government agency, and they are connected to a degree with the population control mandate within the U.S. government. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a moment, but let me just say this. While I believe that the pharmaceutical drug industry is big business, I also believe that nutrition is big business too. I've been both an aficionado and avid researcher of natural and holistic approaches to health since 1978, and have also written articles about them as a contributing editor for holistic health publications. As such, I've witnessed an endless parade of quote-unquote natural remedies and therapies go by in the last 30 years, some having merit and others providing little or no health benefit at all. I've also seen countless products with marginal health benefits masquerading as breakthrough discoveries when in actuality they're nothing more than marketing puffery and shrewd advertising designed to capitalize on health trends. Oftentimes, I've observed hundreds or even thousands of business enterprises spring up out of nowhere to cash in on such trends and fads. Case in point, the popularity of Dead Doctors Don't Lie, an audio presentation by veterinarian and naturopath Dr. Joel Wallach, explaining his core ideas about health and nutrition, sparked the frenzy over colloidal minerals in the 1990s. In the audio tape, which was reportedly distributed to over 50 million people, Dr. Wallach asserted that, one, mineral deficiencies are responsible for most chronic diseases, and two, only minerals in colloidal form contain all the essential minerals that can be adequately absorbed by the human body. As a result of that audio tape, a proliferation of expensive colloidal mineral supplements flooded the market and stocked the shelves of health food stores everywhere, even though no peer-reviewed scientific work has shown colloidal minerals to have any more absorbability than normal minerals, and the health claims were anecdotal and scientifically unproven. The above example shows how the antiquated traditional authority approach to science and medicine used in the 15th and 16th century is alive and well in the modern world. The traditional authority approach, as discussed in the statement above, consists of the idea that if a prominent person declares something to be true, then it must be so. In today's society, however, it doesn't even require a prominent person to establish something as the truth. Sometimes, all it takes is a charismatic speaker who has the ability to make a credible argument or a brilliant that can capture the imagination of the buying public and build an enormous marketing empire from a small morsel of information that isn't even an established fact. For as long as the natural health and wellness movement has been in existence, health fads and trends that were founded on misinformation or erroneous factoids have come and gone. And we know that that's true. But let's just get way beyond the facts about the drugs, nutrition, big business. And let's shift for a moment. I want to do this because it's important for where we're going to go in the Word tonight. Let's go. We're talking about drugs. We're talking about health. We're talking about the bondage that is connected to the pharmaceutical drug industry. And by the way, most of you out there already know that in Revelation chapter 18, it tells us in the scriptures that by their sorceries were all nations deceived. Well, that word sorceries in the Greek is pharmakia, which is the Greek word that we derive our English word pharmaceutical from. The pharmakia, pharmaceutical, by their pharmaceutical drugs were all nations deceived. And there is a great deception because beyond the drugs, there is a spirit of sorcery, a spirit of deception that is at work within this drug industry. It's been around for a very, very long time. And we who are living at the end of the end of the end of the ages, we're seeing an explosion of this epidemic, of this frenzy for pharmaceutical drugs. And we know it's true by the hospitals and by the multiplied millions of pharmaceutical drug users throughout this country and around the world. But let's shift for just a moment, and then we're going to put the two together. I want to talk now about the money or the economic system that's happening here in the United States. Number one, I just shared with you information that reveals that the American public and the majority of the American population are in some way bound or connected to the pharmaceutical drug industry that's making over $2 trillion a year. And it's expected to rise to $3 trillion before the decade ends. So let's talk now about another reality that is happening in the United States of America. Let's talk about the Federal Reserve as a central bank. If you take a piece of paper money out of your wallet, any denomination, you will see these words, Federal Reserve Note. This note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. That's what you're going to find on your money. You might ask yourself why the paper money does not state that it is a note from the Treasury of the United States. After all, the Federal Reserve is not the Treasury. So what is it? The Federal Reserve is a central bank. To put it in everyday terms, it is a private corporation that claims to provide a service to the people of the United States by furnishing the money that is used in our banking system. I want you to get that picture firm in your head because you're going to understand the Federal Reserve like never before. But here you have a head corporation called the Federal Reserve. It is situated here in the United States as a central bank, and it basically prints out and loans the money to all of the banks that are within the United States. So the U.S. economy, the U.S. banks, are receiving their money from the Federal Reserve. But look at this. Another way to look at it is that the monetary system of the United States is in the hands of a very few and very wealthy, powerful individuals who control virtually every aspect of our economy. What this means is that the power of the Federal Reserve exceeds and supersedes that of our president and Congress. The Federal Reserve is not accountable to them. It has never published an annual report, and its meetings are not reported to the press until 6 months after a monetary decision, and they pay no taxes. Let me say that again, that the monetary system of the United States is in the hands of a very few, very wealthy and powerful individuals who control virtually every aspect of our economy. What this means is that the power of the Federal Reserve exceeds and supersedes that of our President and Congress. The Federal Reserve is not accountable to them. It has never published an annual report, and its meetings are not reported to the press until 6 months after a monetary decision, and they pay no taxes. Now, have you ever considered why Americans cannot forgive themselves the interest on the federal debt? Well, it is because they do not owe it to themselves. They owe it to a private corporation who demands interest. The next question is, how did we get a central bank? There are three outstanding books I want to bring to your attention about this central bank issue. One of them is The Secrets of the Federal Reserve by Eustace Mullins, the Bankers Research Institute from 1993. The second is The Federal Reserve, an International Mystery by Thubaut Desaint and Fail Prager Press of 1984. The third book, which many of you are familiar with, is Tragedy and Hope by Carol Quigley, originally published by Macmillan, 1965. And Dr. Carol Quigley was Bill Clinton's mentor from Georgetown University and the one to whom Clinton paid special tribute at his first inaugural address. The Federal Reserve has been amended over 195 times since its founding, with another new amendment introduced in March of 1999, which is currently being considered in Congress. One of those amendments, Section 25A, set up the EDGE Act. It is this bill that allowed national banks to establish foreign branches in order to conduct international or foreign banking activities. Those who passed the original act in 1913 would not recognize it today, as its power and domain far surpass what was ever devised or intended. The Fed is a very important member of the Bank of International Settlements. And to help understand how the Federal Reserve has evolved and the magnitude of the impact of our whole monetary system being outside of the control of the U.S. Treasury, Congressman Charles A. Lindbergh made this statement on the floor of the House of Representatives on December 22, 1913. He said, "This act establishes the most gigantic trust on earth. When the president of this bill, the invisible government by the monetary power will be legalized. The worst legislative crime of the ages is perpetrated by this banking bill." Well, let's ask another question. Who owns the Fed? The Federal Reserve is a private corporation and, as such, works for the benefit of the owners, which include the Rothschild Bank of England, the Rothschild Bank of Berlin, Lazard Brothers Banks of Paris, Israel Moses Seif Banks of Italy, Warburg Banks of Hamburg and Amsterdam, Lehman Brothers Bank of New York, Kuhn Loeb Bank of New York, Chase Manhattan Bank, and Goldman Sachs Bank. Whenever the Federal Reserve raises interest rates, the owners benefit, not the people of the United States. Higher interest rates become a burden to those who owe money as well as to those who would like to borrow money. In this long overdue study of the Federal Reserve System in the United States, the author carefully traces the historical development of the U.S. central banking system. He points out that the recurring efforts to substitute monetary policy for fiscal policy, which has resulted in inflation not only in the United States but throughout the world. Now, listen to what Dr. Carol Quigley said when he was looking to define the central banks. If you've never known what a central bank is, listen. "Notes were issued," he said, "by banks of issue, and were secured by reserves of gold or certificates held in their own coffers or in some central reserve. There were formerly many banks of issue, but this function is now generally restricted to a few or even to a single central bank in each country. Such banks, even central banks, were private institutions owned by the shareholders who profited by their operations." Now, why I'm bringing this information up, I want the people of the United States to decry what I'm saying and deny it and show it to be wrong, or to agree upon the fact that the United States of America is no longer an independent sovereign nation, but has been lassoed in to the New World Order agenda, which is involved in one world government that is seeking to control every aspect of life over the entire human race. This government, this world government, is so evil that it will go out of its way to poison masses of people in order to sell drugs and make more money. This organization is so evil that it has the power to collapse any economy in the world whenever they choose to do so. What I'm trying to bring to the attention, particularly to the Christian that is in this world, because you need to know what is happening all around you. You need to know that there is really a global agenda and that it is already in operation within this nation. And the masses of people who have been blinded by the God of this world will never understand until it's too late that a massive charade has been played upon the minds while making the people of this nation believe that they are independent, sovereign American citizens, that in fact they have been globalized with the agenda of globalization. And that agenda of globalization is revealed in the Word of God as the great beast that rises out of the sea that will eventually make war with the saints of God who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is happening before our very eyes. The United Nations has an agenda. It is being utilized right now by the powers of this world to collapse the United States, to bring it under an international base of authority, outside influences that will manipulate government policy, legislation, health care, and will ultimately bring in the isms of socialism, communism, and all the different aspects that will bring America, the once great nation and last bastion of light in this world, to its knees in an absolute surrender of sovereignty. And we are one catastrophic event away from seeing their plan fulfilled. Whether that catastrophe is several nuclear weapons in several cities across the United States of America on the same day, one should not raise their eyebrows when they hear that. We've already had a 9/11, and we are living in a nuclear age. Whatever the epidemic will be, whatever the pandemic, whatever the catastrophe, be assured of this, dear inhabitants of the United States of America, and dear Christian brother and sister, that there is but one catastrophe away from bringing forth the plan and fulfilling the agenda within this nation. And most people will not believe that because it will happen at a time where people are saying what? Peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. The fact of the matter, right now, in your wallet, in your purse, wherever your dollar bills are, on every single one of them, they simply are Federal Reserve notes, and they are only good to pay debts. The debt is owed to the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve requires interest. All the money in your pocket, or pocketbook, or wallet belongs to the Federal Reserve. That money was loaned to the banks in the United States of America, and therefore the borrower is slave to the lender. The lender in this case is the central bank known as the Federal Reserve. It lent money, and it printed money, and it spreads money throughout the United States system of banking. And those banks are now subservient to the central bank. And the money that they are passing around are not from the Treasury of the United States, showing the sovereignty and the independence, but they are Federal Reserve notes. The Federal Reserve is not a federal governmental agency. It is only parked as a central bank, but it is owned by other world powers, which we just saw, mostly in Europe, the international banksters, the central bank owners, et cetera, et cetera. The key here to understand this is that all the money that's circulating within this economy belongs to the Fed, and whatever moment they choose to manipulate that money to raise interest rates, which would create inflations or bubbles, it would create all kinds of deflation, they manipulate everything, these world powers, these few very wealthy, very powerful people that are in the world. And that should not be a surprise, because the Word of God talks about world rulers, the kings of the earth. And this is part of their strategy. It has been said, we've all read it, that the big boys at the top said it doesn't matter what president you have in the United States as long as we control the money. And the Federal Reserve controls the money. And the time will come, there will be a great awakening when these things will be more recognized and realized by the country. Let me continue here. With regard to the evolution of central banks, the following were founded long before the Federal Reserve. You had the Bank of Sweden, which is the oldest, in 1668. the Bank of England in 1694, the Bank of France in 1803, the Bank of Italy in 1861, and the German Bundesbank in 1870. So the ability of central banks to bring a country to its knees. If every country has a central bank, i.e. a private corporation, which is controlled by the same group of banks and individuals who own the banks of England, France, Italy, Germany, Canada, Japan, Russia, etc., and they all own some of every country's currency, then if someone wanted to bring a country's currency down, all it would take is for all the central banks to sell that country's currency at the same time. If you consider how easy this really would be to bring a country to its knees, you would be awed. After doing extensive research on the Asian crises, I found that it was happened. The Malaysia, Thailand, South Korea did not want to join the World Trade Organization's Financial Services Agreement in order to help them make a decision. Their currencies were devalued. In light of the above and the fact that the world monetary system is dependent on private corporations, i.e. central banks, it is important to go back and take a look at what the central banks are doing. In an article on December 2, 1996, about Hans Tittmeyer, chairman of Germany's central bank, the Bundesbank, the Washington Post wrote this article. They said, Hans Tittmeyer may wield greater power than any president or prime minister in Europe. He has never been elected to public office, yet he can make or break the fortunes of governments as well as investors. In this era of global markets and instant communications, the clout of central bankers has become awesome. Their word can affect the $1 trillion a day that churn through foreign exchanges. As chairman of Germany's Bundesbank, Tittmeyer holds special influence because the market affects the fate of other currencies. Well, what does this reveal? Well, number one, Tittmeyer or any other central bank chairman has more power than presidents or prime ministers. And that is why we all heard Bill Clinton say publicly that all U.S. presidents are but puppets on a string. And he was right. And that's why he's running for the globalist office. He knew that being a president of the United States was not enough to have that ego satisfied. There has to be more power. And that's why Bill loves United Nations agendas. He loves world government agendas. Most of our ex-presidents do. But the second thing that article revealed is that the central bank governors and chairmen are unelected since they are appointed. And number three, because all of the world's countries have borrowed money from these private corporations called central banks, they are beholden to them. The Washington Post article further states, quote, politicians must take political deaccession. Now, in defining what this means, D means away or down or reverse, and accession means the attainment of or the succession to an office. In other words, politicians rank under the central bank chairman in power. Here's a name that you'll all be familiar with. When Alan Greenspan spoke, the world markets listened. With regard to the power of the Federal Reserve, and specifically its chairman, Alan Greenspan, back in the 90s and 2000, the Washington Post wrote this article. Second to the president, Alan Greenspan is arguably the nation's most powerful person. As chairman of the Federal Reserve, he guides U.S. monetary policy, adjusting short-term interest rates to change the cost of borrowing. And with a couple of choice words, he can momentarily send the stock market to heaven or hell. Tomorrow, Greenspan will preside over the mysterious ritual that is at the heart of his power. The Federal Open Market Committee, the Fed's top policymaking group, will gather here to debate whether to raise short-term interest rates for the first time. In 2 years, the most careful Fed watchers can't be sure what the wizard of monetary policy will ultimately opine. That article was written when Alan Greenspan was in power, and today Bernanke is the man. But let me continue. Should America's financial system, whether it's under Greenspan or Bernanke or whoever the world power for this international banking cartel, should America's financial system be governed by a private corporation that is described as mysterious and in which the unelected chairman is called a wizard? Now, if you are unelected chairman of one of the world's largest central banks and you control the monetary policy for the entire country, who has more power? In America, who has more power? Was it then Alan Greenspan or Bill Clinton? Is it Barack Obama today or Bernanke? Who has the power? Well, let's look a little bit into this. And I think I want to just stop reading there. I'm going to tell you what books I've been reading from here. Number one, one of my new favorite books in the whole world, The United Nations Global Straitjacket, is what I was just reading out of by Joanne Vian. And Joanne Vian authored The United Nations Global Straitjacket back in the 90s. She was an international reporter that showed up to over 100 different UN meetings. She has a pulse and a heartbeat. Unfortunately, she died in October of 2010, but she left a wealth of information for people to do their research, due diligence, search it out to see if it is true. She lined it up with the Word of God, which I really appreciated as you read through the book. And the first book that I was reading out of was The 1 Minute Cure. And it was The Secret to Healing Virtually All Diseases. That was by Madison Cavanaugh. Again, The 1 Minute Cure. Both are very revealing in their research and their information. But now, dear friends, ladies and gentlemen, after having received that little tidbit of information that the world economy, that the U.S. economy is under the control of the world economy, and that the World Health Organization helps to manipulate the health of the United States of America, lobbyists that are fighting to bring more pharmaceutical drugs, an epidemic of disease that continues to come and go throughout this nation, the majority of the people in America are sicker or are more sick than most people around the world. That is a fact. That is not just made up. In light of the fact that the monetary system, the health system, are both under the control of an evil global agenda, because anything that would keep someone diseased to make money is evil, is just as evil as the mechanic that breaks a part of your car under the hood when you went to get something else fixed. It's evil. It may appear to be innocent, no big deal, I could fix that too, it'll just cost you money. But the money that is circulating around this nation, this Federal Reserve note, is a proof of the indebtedness of the United States. The time of the monetary collapse is determined by these world powers. However, it is Yahweh God who sits in the heavens and laughs at the plans of men. I know to the average person in this world, these men, whether suited or not, and women who are in a global position, who are under the mindset of the Luciferian agenda, the spirit of Antichrist itself, who knowingly or unknowingly are being driven down the path of control, the fact remains that they are but men and they are but women. And this is a sad fact. And yet, there must be a voice within the United Nations. There must be that voice that shines in the darkness that would expose the dark plans, giving opportunity for those who have unwittingly been controlled by it to come out of it. But more importantly, it is important that the people of the earth, the people of America, know what is happening. And rather than lightly disregard these facts that are taking place, wake up to the reality that your nation is changing. And if you don't care that your nation is coming into the global plan, the global agenda, the new community, the third wave, the global consolidation of nations, if you are happy about that unionization, if you are happy about that as an American citizen, then you realize that you have lost your sovereignty, that America is not what it once stood to be, and that there is a shift going on in the world. Now, the only knowledge in the world that would look at this and say this is dangerous is the knowledge that is revealed in the Bible. The Bible, the book that they want to throw away, the book they want to rewrite because it's impeding their progress, the book that reveals the true nature of spiritual events that are happening around and about us, the Bible. You know that book, Americans. It was on the desk of every child in this country just a few years ago. But since the 1960s, they decided through the global agenda to get the Bible out of the schools because they understood that it would be an obstacle to their progress. And so the effective work of the United Nations global energies dismantled the whole system and has been doing it now for 50 some odd years. And they have arrived at a moment within their labors where they are sensing the effect of their plan coming to power. And Christian, beware, because without this knowledge, you will inevitably be tempted, perhaps beyond your ability to resist, the receiving of a mark or a design that is being planned for this universal global government. And I'm speaking, of course, out of Revelation chapter 13. And in verse 16, it says, "This beast, this false prophet, causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name." Buying and selling. Buying and selling. Everything about your life and my life is about buying or selling, for the most part. In this world, on this earth, you have to buy a car to go to work, to earn money, to pay your bills for your rent and your mortgage. But in order to drive your car, you need to buy gas. You need to buy food for your existence. You have to buy water. You need to buy clothes. And this idea of buying and selling is exaggerated within the United States of America, because we've been to third world countries where they don't buy or sell and they've just learned to live. And I think they're going to do a lot better off than a lot of Americans who have had the cozy life very soon within this nation. And there's going to have to be an understanding of how to get through this debacle without receiving that mark of the beast, because many people who are accustomed to living a certain way of life are going to be tempted to receive that mark, whether they know it or not, so that they can continue to buy or sell during this time of great tribulation. And all the events that are happening keep the nation sick, keep the nation's economy under the control of the power elite, break it down, eat away at the foundation, break it apart, nibble at it, tear it, and eventually it's going to cave in. Eventually it's going to collapse. And there are, believe it or not, millions of people in this country, and that's not a big number because there are over 360 million people in the United States. There are millions, however, that are bracing themselves for the collapse. The majority of the people in the world call them crazy. They call them fanatics. They call them right-wingers. They call them every name in the book, gloomers, doomers, preppers. I mean, you put a name on it, that's what they do. Nevertheless, there are millions of people preparing and bracing themselves for a collapse so big because of the size of this nation, because the superpower of the world is going to collapse and is going to fall to the global agenda. America is falling. And the majority of the people are going to go with the flow. They're going to go with the fall, and they're going to meld right into the global agenda. It's going to be so oozing with goodness and, hey, let's all get along, the global community. It's no longer about sovereignty, but community. It's no longer about the individual, but the corporateness. It's no longer about any of that. Come into our new world. Come and embrace our new community where everyone is accepted. We're going to take guns away from everybody in the world. We're only going to give guns to our global police force. you all come in and you go to your parties and you go to your ball games and you go to your jobs and you drive your nice cars, you drive your nice houses, we give you your health care, we're going to give you a world that you love. And the only thing is that we want a one world religion. We don't want any one Jesus Christ. We don't want any one Bible to be telling all the rest of us that we need to go by the way of Jesus Christ. We want to be told that every way leads to God, even agnosticism and atheism, that everybody has a right to believe what they want. And in our world, there can be no upsetting of that new global truth. And so welcome to our new world. Welcome to our new monetary system. Welcome to our new healthcare system. Welcome to our new economy. Welcome to our new housing industry. Welcome to the way we're going to do things now. And you all come together and just everybody throw your clothes off, jump into a big pile and have a wonderful orgy amongst yourselves and the human race. And yet, that is the most contrary belief system and such an anti-Christ method to what the Word of God says. You know, I know a lot of wonderful people that are out there who are from different religions. I know I've been ministering to Muslims for a long time, but just within Christianity, there are Catholics. I was born and raised Catholic. There are Protestants. There are Orthodox. There are 3,000 different denominations within the church, if you will, the Protestant movement. There are people everywhere that claim to have some affiliation with God. They have some affiliation with Jesus. If you ask them, do you believe in Jesus? They'll tell you yes, but their knowledge of the scriptures is so little that they are receiving the knowledge of the world through the conditioning and mind control through the way that the whole world is being set up. We live in this world as though we created it. And yet, no, we did not create it. The global elite are creating the world in which we live. And in the United States of America, the founding fathers created a system of that we call the Republic, and a system of sovereignty, an independent nation from all the nations of the earth, with a system that was formed upon the Word of God and had a biblical foundation. And there were not mosques on every street corner. There were churches. And it was not a Quran in our schoolrooms. It was a Bible, because the founding fathers, for the most part, understood that the Christian new covenant by the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ would bring a blessing to the nation. And sure enough, it did. And this nation has been blessed like no other nation in the world. But this new global agenda of communists and socialists and antichrist, atheists and agnostics have made their move and have been warring against the saints within this nation for a very long time. The saints are being worn out, and we're told for 3.5 years, according to Revelation 13, that they are going to be overcome. That is, the saints are going to be overcome by the beast for 42 months, 1,260 days, or 3.5 years. And that is what is upon us right now. Nevertheless, here's the good news, and that's what I really want to get to tonight. I don't want to be a part of man's new world order, and I hope you don't either. But we have to remember that there is a God in heaven, and seated at the right hand of God is the Lord Jesus Christ, the rightful heir of the world. Satan does not legally own the world. He is a dark, demonic spirit that is operating in the world, known as the prince of the power of the air, in the book of Ephesians. He is the God of this world who blinds the minds of men and prevents the light of the glorious gospel from shining in their hearts. Nevertheless, seated at the right hand of Yahweh God in the heavens is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Word of God tells us he is the rightful heir of this world. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. There will come a time when Christ will rule the nations of the earth. It will not be Buddha, it will not be Muhammad, it will not be the Mahdi or any other individual. It will be Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that will rule over the nations of the earth. And the Word of God tells us it will be for 1,000 years. And we who believe and have been selected by him because of an overcoming life will rule and reign with him in his administration on the earth in glorified bodies that will never die. Oh, dear Christian, I fear that you do not know your covenant rights or the inheritance that you have as a born-again, spirit-filled believer in Jesus Christ. You need to read your Bible so you will not be deceived. And we study the Word of God so that we can look at the things that are going on in the world and expose them as an anti-Christ agenda, no matter how smooth sounding they are. We would wake up the people of this world. We would wake up the people of this nation. We would wake up the people within the house of Yahweh God Almighty through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we would say, wake up and realize that you do not have to live under the control of world government. In fact, in the book of Revelation, chapter 18, beginning in verse 4, we read these words. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Come out of her, my people, is the call of God to his people. Come out of Babylon. Come out of her. And who is it referring to? Well, we're told in verse 2 of Revelation 18, he cried mighty with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And then again we hear the cry, come out of her, my people. Verse 5, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Friends, we have to go back to that message. It's not an old, outdated, antiquated message. The number one destroyer of the human race today is sin. Sin is the reason for all the pain. Sin is the reason for the confusion. Sin is the reason for the breakdown. Sin is the reason why evil has crept in and situated itself in the hearts of multitudes of people upon the earth, replacing their morality with licentiousness. It is sin at the root. And in America, our sins have reached unto heaven. The cup is full. And listen to what the Word of God says. It says in verse 6, reward her even as she rewarded you. Double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she has filled, fill to her double. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she said in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. That's how many people feel in the United States of America. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. I am not reading out of the Old Testament. I am reading out of the book of Revelation, which is an end time message for a people living in the last days just prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. This Babylonian world system being issued and ushered in by the United Nations and other entities like it is going to grow to such a massive, exclusive power over the whole earth. It's going to be a brutal 3.5 years for a lot of people on this planet who name the name of God. The unsuspecting world is going to receive the mark. It's going to participate in the world program. They're going to love it. They're going to hate Christians. They're going to hate Christ. They're not going to tolerate any idea about Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, which the Bible says is true. Jesus Christ, there is no other name under heaven by which men must be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. It's in the book of Acts. There is no path of Buddhism. There is no philosophical path that leads to God. There is no path of Islam. There is no enlightenment strong enough. There is only one way to the Father, and that is through his Son, who died on the cross, shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Buddha did not shed his blood for you or me. Confucius did not shed his blood for you or me. Muhammad did not shed his blood for you or me. No philosopher, no professor of any institution, no governmental leader, no political scientist has shed their blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And our sins demand holy justice from a holy God. But that justice has been paid in the blood of Jesus. You and I are forgiven because Jesus paid the price. We do not have to grovel in unbelief. We do not have to grovel in guilt, shame, and condemnation. We have been pardoned through the blood of Jesus, And if we believe the gospel, the message of the Bible, we will be happier for it. We will be free and delivered. But the masses of people in the world are coming to a time where the Bible is going to be assaulted. The Christian community is going to be assaulted. The attack is on. It's going to get strong. And there is going to be a prevailing power that is going to prevail for a season known as 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. It is coming, and very difficult times are coming. But I need to stress that, but to those who know their God, to those who know these things, they will, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the days of Daniel, though they be cast into the fiery furnace, they will not bow their knee to the image of Baal. They will not bow to these world powers. They will not bow to Nebuchadnezzar. They will not bow to global government without Christ. They will wait until Jesus Christ comes to set up his government all over the earth, which he has a right to do because he is the rightful heir. He is the firstborn son, the older son, who always gets the inheritance. Jesus Christ is going to rule the earth. And so these holy men and women of God who know their God, know the truth of the scriptures, will not be caught off guard. They will not be brought into the net that will ensnare them. They will not be caught when the snare comes upon the whole earth and multitudes will not be able to escape, for they will have long ago left that system of dependence upon human government. They will have long ago departed from their need for the things of this world because they know that their God is able to get every provision that they need to them. I love the story when the Israelites were in Egypt 3,500 years ago and God raised up Moses to bring them out of Egypt. And the day that they left Egypt, God had made it so miserable for the people of Egypt that they threw their gold and silver and everything they had at the Israelites and said, here, take all of our stuff and get out of here because we cannot handle the plagues. It's known as the Exodus. And when the Israelites exodus out of Egypt, they went forth with the wealth of the Egyptian nation. They passed through the Red Sea on dry land. They went into the wilderness and received the law of Yahweh, the Ten Commandments. And from that time forward, Israel became a nation within the wilderness. And then God brought them in to be a great nation, but they never accomplished what they were supposed to accomplish. There has been a transfer from the nation of Israel to the church, which is made up of Jew and Gentile. It is not replacement theology. It is fulfillment theology that I'm speaking about, because the New Testament church began with the Jewish community and the true tribes of Israel, Judah. This is where the church began. Then, in Acts chapter 10, the heavens opened, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came, the Gentile nations were gathered together and have been for 2,000 years. And so the church has been growing for 2,000 years. We're about to leave the church age. We're going into the kingdom age. There are a lot of changes coming down the pike, but here's my point. Those who know their God will do exploits, Daniel 11:35. That means they're going to do mighty works and mighty deeds during this time. They are not going to be depending upon the world system or the world government. They do not need the mark of the beast. They will be preserved by God wherever they are. Their needs will be met. They will be given food, water, shelter. They will be kept in divine peace and health. They will have the joy of the Lord even in the midst of these chaotic times. The multitudes of professors of Christ are going to be touched by the Great Tribulation. I hope to God that you and I will not be. But to not be requires that we are sealed. And to be sealed means we need to have a certain conduct and characteristic about us that is Christ-centered. And we need to sigh and cry for the abominations that are being committed within the house of Yahweh God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a very peculiar kind of heart. Now, with the information that we are sharing here tonight, there's only one right thing to do. Number one, go study it out for yourself and see if you're hearing the truth. Because I know the Bible is the only source of truth that I have. I have no truth of my own. Joanne Vion's book is not a source of truth, nor is the One Minute Cure book the source of truth from which I get my information. However, when books like these work with the Bible, then, and I could see it working together, then I could read it with confidence. The Bible is the only source of truth to this world. The message of the new covenant, the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the true message that God left with the inhabitants of this world. God wanted that message preached to the ends of the earth. There's even an angel flying through the heavens in the book of Revelation preaching the everlasting gospel. It's in your Bible. But the message of the scriptures must be the guiding light of our existence. The Holy Spirit is given to us with the Word of God to direct and guide us so that we know what to do when these things come. The Word of God is telling us what's coming down the pike, and it's telling us to prepare. We need to be a people of preparation. We need to be about our Father's business. We need to be preaching that everlasting gospel to every creature under heaven, everywhere we go, as we are led by the Holy Spirit to do so. We also need to be preparing for the time when the globalization of this economy goes into place. It may happen in a year, it may happen in a month, it may happen in a week, it may happen in a day. A law was passed for the Federal Reserve in one day. That Federal Reserve became a legal entity and has affected this nation since 1913 and has stripped away the sovereignty. And that's why both Abraham Lincoln and JFK were assassinated, because they wanted our own dollars back within our system, but the globalists would not have it to be so. Both were assassinated. We need to prepare before that collapse. We need to prepare our health before that collapse. I am a firm believer in divine healing. I believe that if we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and by his stripes we are healed, we could learn how to live by faith in the healing power of God. I believe that. However, I do believe that you should not go walking around eating cupcakes, ding-dongs, and Twinkies and loading yourself with sugar, soda pop, and all that stuff in the name of the Lord and then wondering why you're sick. I wouldn't do that. I do believe in eating well. I believe that you can grow your own food. I believe that there is well water available. I believe that you can provide food that is dehydrated, that you could keep on the shelf for 25 years, and it will be available if ever you needed it. I believe that there are many beans, rice, sugar, all the different staples that are necessary. Those things are available right now. In other words, there is an availability for people to begin to prepare. I believe that there's enough land around and about. If you have the money, go buy some land. Get yourself a little getaway place if you ever need to get away. Find a simple place out of the way that you could have room to grow a garden, or to have a few cattle, have some cattle, or to have a horse, or to have a place where you could dig your well and have your water come up from the earth when you need it. To put in some generated power or windmill power or solar power. To find a little tiny world of your own that is off the grid, that in the event that these things that we're talking about come to pass, that you'll be able to survive and take care of yourself and your family and those that you love. There is no reason for anyone in this country to believe it is impossible that an electromagnetic pulse can take place at any moment. All it would require is a few nuclear devices being detonated a few miles up in the air, a few hundred miles up in the air, and exploding to wipe out the entire electrical grid of the United States of America, bringing this nation back into the 1700s and 1800s. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for the possibility of terrorism once again mounting its ugly head in the United States? There is a man who is in favor of Islam. There is a man who is in favor of the homosexual agenda that is operating as a president in the United States, that is opening a door to a new agenda, realizing the global agenda. In order for it to go forward, there has to be a collapse of this country's sovereignty, and one final blow is being prepared. What will it be? Will it be an electromagnetic pulse? Will it be nuclear detonations? Will it be biological, chemical warfare? Will it be an earthquake, a tsunami, a massive hurricane? What will be the impetus that will bring about the collapse? Well, whatever it is, you and I should be preparing for the collapse. If you prepare and nothing happens, you've lost nothing. If you spend some of your money on getting the necessary things to get yourself a piece of land or some food or some water, to do the things that are necessary to survive, and nothing happens, it's no big deal. you can continue to live an abundant life in Jesus Christ. However, I think it is a wise thing for people to consider, especially people with this knowledge, their own personal exodus out of the major cities within the United States of America. I still believe that is the right thing to do, to have an out-of-the-way place to go and to begin step-by-step, strategically, little by little, step-by-step, finding ways to get away from the masses of people that are piled up upon one another, because this is where the social chaos is going to happen. We saw it in Katrina. We saw that the gangs were roving about. They were doing what they were doing. They were raping, pillaging, murdering. It was happening en masse. It's going to happen again, but in a more terrible way, because it's going to be on a larger scale. Prepare. You must prepare personally. And if you're embarrassed about doing it, don't worry about it. Just do it without telling anybody. Just prepare. If you ignore what you are hearing, you scoff at it, you laugh at it, you resist it, you fight against it, without doing due diligence and searching it out, you are simply hardening your heart to the truth, and you will pay a very dear price in the days ahead, when the collapse comes. If you believe that there will be no further terrorism, there will be no further collapses, there will be no devil coming to power in the U.S., I do not believe in the global agenda, you may say. If you just say, I don't believe it, therefore I'm not going to do anything, what you're doing basically is burying your head in the sand because you like your little life that you have right now and you're not willing to change it. But folks, life is all about changing. Life is all about readjusting. Life is all about being able to go with the flow of the Holy Spirit, hearing the voice of the Creator of the universe saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, and then following it. This is why we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, so we have an inner voice within us that is not our own, but is the very voice of God, the voice of truth, that guides us and speaks to us and says, this is what you need to do. And He confirms His existence as being the Spirit of truth by revealing the Word of God. He only operates by the Word of God. Any spirit that is guiding someone's life apart from the Word of God is a demonic spirit. It's a false spirit. If the Holy Spirit is truly in someone's life and it is guiding their life, it will always be consistent with the Word of God. The New Agers, the metaphysics, the mentalists of our age, the psychics of our age, they have a guiding voice, all right, and it may come as an angel of light, but the Word of God says that Satan always transforms himself into an angel of light. He is a seducer. In the Garden of Eden, he seduced the woman to partake of the knowledge of good and evil, that particular tree. It was through seduction. He always sounds right. He always sounds good. And there are many people that are guided by that voice that sounds good, but those ways always end in death. They do not prosper. We need to hear the voice of our Creator, our Father, our God, the one and only true and living God. We need to hear His voice. He allows us to hear His voice through the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures. And when you put the Word of God and the Holy Spirit together, you have a powerful force of truth that you can trust in, that you could abide in, that you could learn to grow in, that you could live in. You could be confident and secure that regardless of what goes on in this world, God's Word will make provision for your life. Now, I cannot imagine anybody in their right mind denying the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I happen to believe that there's opportunity for people tonight to give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, to come into the kingdom, to be translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. I firmly believe that if you're hearing this message tonight, it is a call to your spirit to wake up. I trust that the anointing of God is breaking through some of the darkness and hardness of heart that has been systematically, strategically placed upon many people's hearts and minds. A veil has gone over the hearts and minds of the masses, but I believe that the Spirit of God is able to rip through that veil, pierce that veil, go into your heart, convict you of the reality that you need God's forgiveness for the sins that you have committed against Him, for there is no one that is good, no one. And all the good deeds of man are as filthy rags before the Lord, the prophet Isaiah said. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are not good people in the eyes of a holy God. We can make ourselves believe that we're good and there's nothing wrong with us and we're really good people. But the fact of the matter remains that we have a human nature that is diabolical at its core. and we have a human nature that is resisting the creator of the universe because it is satanically inspired, and it moves. And that's what you read in Ephesians chapter 2. Do your homework, Ephesians chapter 2, about being controlled by the prince of the power of the air, the God of this world. We have all been under his control, but God is saying there is a way. That way is through the cross. That way is through the cross. You come back to Father God through the cross of his son, Jesus Christ, because God sent Jesus into this world to reconcile. You know, when you're reconciling two enemies and you try to bring them to a reconciling of their differences, you bring them back together. Well, Jesus is the reconciler. The cross is what brings the human race back to God, because the human race has been an enemy against God. It has violated God's laws. It has violated God's commandments. It has violated God as creator. It has abused, it has blasphemed God. And as an enemy, God has brought the cross and his son Jesus Christ into this world to reconcile the enemies of God back to himself. We've all been enemies of God. Every single human being on this earth has been an enemy of God. Read Ephesians chapter 2. There's the wisdom. But through Jesus Christ dying on the cross, being brutally murdered, beaten, the hairs on his face being ripped out by hand, they tore his beard out of his face. They put a crown of thorns in his head. They spit on him. They punched him. They took 39 stripes of the most hideous razor blade whips and ripped his back to shreds. And all this happened with the permission of his Father, because the price had to be paid for our sin. And if we don't see the intense crucifixion of Christ, will never know how guilty we really were and how guilty we really are. And there are many people in this world who have justified themselves, but they are not justified before God. There are many people in this world that pat themselves on the back and think they're pretty good people and they're going to heaven, but they don't know the Word of God. They have never met Christ at the cross. They have never come into contact with their true human condition and the true nature of their existence. They have not done it. And not until the Spirit of God leads men and women to the cross will they ever know the exclusive right of the resurrected Messiah, who after being crucified and dying and being buried, rose from the dead on the third day, ascended 40 days later, and sat at the right hand of God. He has the exclusive rights as the heir of this world, but one would never know it. Their minds would remain darkened, because Satan's strategy is to take men into the lake of fire, to take men into an everlasting damnation. It's true. I know it's an antiquated message in the world in which we live of secular humanism and their progressive agenda, but the reality is that God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God's word that was the same yesterday is the same today. It will be forever. Is a call to the human race to repent. His word is true. There is a hell. There is eternal death. There is a lake of fire that the Bible speaks about. There is a worm that never dies, which is the worm of torment in the soul and the psyche of a human being. Oh yes, the physical body is going to go right back to the earth from which it came, but the soul will go on forever, either in eternal life and bliss through the body and blood of Jesus Christ, or it's going to go on into eternal damnation, eternal death of torment. Too horrible to even be understood. That's why no man could really describe the torments of total separation from God. And if people do not know what God's word says, how do they really know that they're saved? How do they really know that they're safe? How do they really know that their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life? It is a time to go back to the Bible. You must allow the Bible to be your source of wisdom in this world, your source of power, your source of illumination, your source of inspiration, so that when everything else fails, you will have the abiding Word of God, which, going back to the words of Jesus after Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he said, a wise man will build his house upon a rock. And he said that his message and listening to that message, obeying that message, was a life that built itself upon a rock, that when the storms of life came, the house would stand. But a foolish man would hear what the Bible says but would not obey it. He is like a man who built his house on the sand. The storms of life came. The foundation was destroyed. The house fell, and it was a great fall. Yes, it appears that the gospel of Jesus Christ is a narrow path. It is a narrow way for the multitudes of people upon this planet. But Jesus said, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many there be that are on it. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that are on it. Yes, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God, is the narrow way. Not going to church, not religion, not religious zeal, but relationship with Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the way into eternal life. And though it be a narrow pathway for a moment, I can assure you that once entering into the kingdom, it will open up into everlasting vistas of universal glory, of the most beautiful, awesome experiences that transcend human bliss exponentially beyond anything we could imagine or ever think. This is the truth. Yes, it is a narrow-mindedness. Yes, it is a narrow pathway. And today's secular humanism wants tolerance. It wants a more open mind. But ladies and gentlemen, don't be deceived by that. Get your truth from the Word of God. It cannot be as the world wants it to be. It must be the way that God prescribed it. And God does not prescribe these things like a legalist with a bat in a hand and a chain in a hand to beat people. No, God actually gives a prescription like a physician. And His message is the prescription. His message is the medicine that once ingested into the being of a person will literally transform their lives from the inside out, will bring about a great restoration of healing in the inward parts, will give them a clear mind, eternal life, inspiration, all the blessed blessings that God could give to His people. It's true. And yet no one said that being a Christian in this world is easy, because the true way of the cross, the true way of being a Christ-centered man or woman is an antagonism to the rest of this world. It antagonates the hell out of Satan and all of his minions. Yes, the way of the cross, the way of the Christian that is rigidly righteous. In other words, it rigidly obeys the words of God, but it's not oppressive commandments that are legalistic. They are prescriptions that bring edification in life. This is an antagonism to the powers of darkness. And if we are concerned about being antagonistic to the powers of darkness, we're going to compromise our walk, and that's when many are going to be overcome by the powers of darkness. We can never allow ourselves to compromise our vibrant faith in Jesus Christ in the face of any human being on this earth, because at the end of our lives, we're not going to stand before any human beings. We're going to stand and give an account before the throne of our Heavenly Father. This is the message. This is the gospel. And this is the good news as revealed in the Word of God. And I think that's all we're going to share here for tonight. Again, encapsulating everything that we've said, the world system is becoming a globalized world government system. Under that system, great persecution will come to those who refuse to receive its design. In the kingdom of God, your needs will be met. It's the truth. He'll find a way to get food to you, water to you, provision to you. He'll find a way. He's done it before. He'll do it again. It's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. It can't be the middle road of mediocrity. It's all or nothing. My prayer for you tonight is that you will go all the way and you will begin to read the Bible, particularly the New Covenant, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the message directly from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Don't be deceived by men's ideas that the Bible was written by men. Well, of course it was, but it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Bible is a masterpiece. I've been reading it for over 30 years, and I've scratched the proverbial surface. It is a masterpiece of restoration, rejuvenation, revelation. It is a transforming document that is able to transform our lives and to conform us literally into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, literally making us a new species within, having a new nature, a divine nature, being born again. These are thoughts and ideas that come directly from the Word of God, and so many people are unfamiliar with it. And the count of spirituality is in New Age, metaphysics, Hinduism, Buddhism, humming, and sitting with your legs crossed and pointing your fingers in different directions, as though that's really spiritual. No. The true spirituality is a relationship with Father God that can only come through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. You want to know what true spirituality is? Are you a seeker of spiritual truth? Do you want something more spiritual in your life? Well, then why don't you turn to God? For the Bible says that God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. That's in the Gospel of John. So if you want a spiritual experience, don't go sit on a rock and hum and look up to the celestial skies. Look to your Heavenly Father, the Creator of heaven and earth, through the lens of His Son, Jesus Christ. Receive God's mercy. Receive God's forgiveness. Receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life. And allow Him to introduce you to the Creator of the universe. And there begin your pursuit in a relationship with the God that is everything spiritual. Don't settle for Shirley MacLaine's Out on a Limb, or the gurus, or the New Agers, or the professors of the institutions that sound so cool and hip. Don't go there, because it's a facade, and every one of those men will die like men. But Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He is alive, and He has done something for this human race, and I pray it would be acknowledged tonight by those of you who are listening. And for those of you who have already made that acknowledgement, God bless you. For those of you who already know all these things, God bless you. May you be a witness and a testimony to the people around you in the days ahead. Have a blessed weekend. I'm over. I'm out. This is Pastor Vince saying good night and God bless until we meet again. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every person that was out there tonight listening, or those listening by archive, that there will be a genuine surrender of the heart to your divine purpose for this moment in which we are all living. I pray for the salvation of many souls. And I pray, Father God, in Jesus' name, that you would reveal yourself to every person that would call upon your name tonight, the name of your holy Son, Jesus, who is the Christ of Nazareth. And I thank you for the rich blessing and the power of your Holy Spirit drawing men to you, Father, not to a church, not to a religion, not to a man, but to you. And these things I ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen.